Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Kondorian Murad. They're the official show sponsor for us at Grant and Danny. They'll help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the show to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. We love our guys, Kondori and Murad. By the way, I believe, Danny, we're going to see the Caps this weekend.
That's this Sunday, brother.
You,
right?
Me, and
or Saturday.
The law firm. Saturday evening, they're playing the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
We will be at Capital One Arena. I hope they've got the good chocolate chip cookies lined up in that suite for us.
I don't know
if it's going to be catered or not. I don't need it to be catered. I just want a couple chocolate chip cookies in there.
I smell what you're cooking there. So I'll go get my own food. That's just fine. But that palate cleanse at the end,
yeah.
A couple of those warm chocolate chip bad boys.
That's all I'm asking for.
Please.
There's nothing better. And I don't know what the company is. I don't know where they come from. I don't know how they do it. The chocolate chip cookies at Capital One Arena. In the areas where the rich people are with the nice seats.
Mm-hmm.
Those cookies, man.
Yeah.
I could eat those by the 14s. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. Talk to college football analyst from PFF, one of their draft experts, Max Chadwick, who is with us on Grant and Danny. Max, it is great to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'd really appreciate if you save me one of those chocolate chip cookies, too, when you guys go down there.
Now, here's the issue.
It sounds like a nice idea, but we're not sharers.
Here's the problem, though. They're giant.
I wouldn't be either if I was in your shoes either. So.
I don't know if you can eat one of these. They're very, very big. And the other problem is trying to eat one can be really, really problematic. So that narrow runway you're trying to put the plane on down there, it's very complicated.
All right, fair enough. I'll have to get one when I get down there then.
We got you. Max, let's start with the top of the draft board. So Caleb Williams goes one. Can we move on, or do we have to discuss that more?
No, you can pretty much write that one in Sharpie, I think, right now.
Okay, so pick number two. It all starts with the Washington Commanders. What do you got?
Yeah, I personally think it's down to really two players between Jaden Daniels and Drake May. I think if you're asking me who I think will be the number two pick and who I would personally take at number two, I'm going to give you two different answers. Who I think will be the number two pick as of right now is Jaden Daniels, the quarterback from LSU, the Heisman Trophy winner. As for who I personally would take at number two, it's Drake May, the quarterback from North Carolina. I think his weaknesses have been way overblown by a lot of people right now, and I think he's got considerably more arm talent than Jaden Daniels. And he's been elite both of his years as a starting quarterback. Whereas for Jaden Daniels, it kind of took until year five for him to really become this superstar. And Drake May has been, you know, at a way younger age. So I personally think it's not really close. I think Drake May is the number two pick in this draft. But as of right now, I think Jaden Daniels ultimately will be the number two overall pick right now.
So it's interesting, Max. I think Drake May is going too. I think part of why they traded Sam Howell away is they didn't want like a weird friendship dynamic or thing in the way. They wanted nothing but veterans around May, and there's been the least amount of noise, and this regime seems to love their quiet. But why do you think they're taking Daniels over May?
Yeah, I mean, I personally put a lot of stock into, and I know it's not a perfect science, but I put a lot of stock into the betting odds and how they shift, and that usually is a pretty good indicator of where things stand right now. And right now, Jaden Daniels, ever so slightly, is the betting favorite over Drake May, according to most sports books right now. So I think Jaden Daniels right now might be the preferred option for Cliff Kingsbury as he begins his offense in Washington. But like I said, I think Drake May is pretty clearly the number two guy. And it's really like a 55%, 45%. me thinking it'll be Jaden Daniels. Like, I really think this is a coin flip for Washington. So I would not be surprised if they go with Drake May at number two. And I think personally, like I said, I think that's what they should be doing at number two, is take Drake May.
Help me out with the sports book part of it when you're talking about odds on draft picks. Like, I get if you're using that as a governor for how you're going to go bet things or something. But where are the odds coming from? Isn't it just about the information and the rumors and the aggregation, or do we believe that there's actual inside intel somewhere?
No, I don't really know if it's inside intel. I think most of it is based off of all the reports that come out and how, you know, valid the reporters are that are reporting it. So that's why, you know, I think that's a pretty good indicator of first of all, what is the report that's coming out? Second of all, who is it coming from? Is it a reliable source? Is it a reporter that's been correct on these things before? Or is it someone that usually just puts out random things and doesn't really care about whether or not they're right? So I think Vegas does a pretty good job of aggregating that. And again, like I said, it's not an exact science. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, exactly how Vegas sees the NFL draft playing out is the exact way, because that's obviously not going to happen. But like I said, right now, Jaden Daniels is the betting favorite. And that's why I think right now he probably would be who I predict to go number two. But like I said, it's almost a coin flip for me right now as to who actually would be the number two overall pick.
Max Chabot of PFF with us here on G&D. So how does Daniels fit with Kingsbury and maybe kind of the rest of that staff, offense that fits him best? So why do you think they would lean number two, and how might that play out?
Yeah, obviously, you know, he's got by far the best running ability of any quarterback in this class. I mean, he had over, I think, 1,300 rushing yards this past season. He's probably the best runner we've seen at the quarterback position in college football since Lamar Jackson, honestly. So I think he's going to be immediately one of the top rushing quarterbacks in the NFL right when he gets into that building. And I still think he really has developed incredibly as a passer, whereas, you know, he kind of really struggled as a passer at Arizona State. Last year at LSU, was very conservative but improved in a lot of other areas. And this past year, he was a flamethrower for LSU, taking deep shots down the sidelines, making some unbelievable throws. So I loved his progression as a passer throughout his career. And like I said, he's still one of the best mobile quarterbacks that we've seen come out in the last few years, honestly, or over the last half decade. So I think that'll be a really exciting part of the offense. And, you know, a lot of Washington fans, I know it didn't really work out too well, but they can expect probably like an RG3 type of player when they get a guy like Jaden Daniels.
As far as Drake May goes, you mentioned that some of his flaws are being exaggerated. Why do you think that is, and go deeper into that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing with him and Caleb Williams, I just don't really agree with from a lot of people, is that everyone's like, oh, they had down years as a junior. It's like, okay, sure, maybe they were slightly worse than they were from their sophomore campaigns, and Caleb obviously won the Heisman as a sophomore and didn't do it as a junior, but they were also grading out 90-plus every single year of the career, according to the PFF grade. So 90-plus means you're still an elite player. And so I'm not really too sure where this whole, oh, Drake May had a down year. Drake May, I saw a quote yesterday, Drake May's going to get you fired if you take him. Honestly, I think there's a better chance Drake May gets you fired by you not taking him, honestly. I think this guy has all the arm talent in the world, and he's played at an elite level for 2 years. So I don't really think the stuff for him, you know, missing some throws sometimes, sometimes the footwork's not great. But honestly, I still think Drake May is the number one overall pick in a lot of other drafts. He just happens to be in a draft with one of the better quarterback prospects we've seen in Caleb Williams. So I still think Drake May is pretty clearly the number two guy for me right now.
How big is the gap then for McCarthy and these other guys that we've mentioned?
I think there's a pretty clear gap between Caleb Williams and Drake May. Then I think there's a pretty clear gap between Drake May and Jaden Daniels. And I think there's a pretty clear gap between Jaden Daniels and J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and Bo Nix. I kind of group those three in a similar boat, with J.J. probably being the first guy I would take out of those three. But I wouldn't hate any of the order of those three in there. So I think there's a pretty considerable gap, though, between the top three and then the next three of J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix Jr., and Bo Nix right now.
Max Chadwick of PFF with us on Grant and Danny. So if you've got Caleb Williams going one to Chicago, then let's say Jaden Daniels two to Washington, do you think the Patriots pounce on Drake May at three? And then do you think someone trades up to four for McCarthy to lead the three you were just referencing? Or do the Cardinals stand pat there, take a receiver, and then the race is up to five for McCarthy?
Yeah, I think the Patriots would be foolish not to take Drake May with the number three overall pick if he's there, honestly. I just I don't really see, you know, there's a lot of people saying, oh, they should trade down and then wait and see if they get a quarterback next year. Next year's class is nowhere near as good as it is this year in terms of the quarterback. So I really don't understand that at all. So if a guy like Drake May is there at three, even if Jaden Daniels is there at three, I probably would take Jaden Daniels still. I understand the supporting cast is not very good in New England at all. So it's not a great situation for Drake May to be going into, but at the same time, you can't pass up that potential. And as for after that, I personally think that Arizona, it would take a lot for Arizona to move out of that number four pick. I think they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. It's the biggest need of their team is receiver, and you get a once-in-a-decade type of talent like Marvin Harrison Jr. I think you got to do it there. And then at five is where I could see the whole J.J. McCarthy trade happening. I think the Chargers want to grab extra picks. They have a lot of needs on that roster. Jim Harbaugh wants to build that roster the way he sees fit. And also, you know, kind of an added bonus to it, Jim Harbaugh gets to be the guy to make his former college quarterback a top five pick in the draft and probably send him to a great situation in Minnesota too. So kind of, you know, one last thing from Jim Harbaugh to do for J.J. McCarthy before they both go their separate ways in the NFL. I think it's kind of an added bonus as well. So I kind of look at that Chargers pick at number five as the most likely to trade out of it right now for a team looking to get J.J. McCarthy.
So go deep on Michael Penix Jr. To me, it's the injury history. And I guess the age to a degree, even though I care less about age maybe for quarterback prospects than I ever have. These guys play until their upper 30s and 40 with all the new rules. But the injuries are kind of what scares me. I think that guy's really productive. He's going to help somebody if he goes to a good situation. Where are you at on him and kind of give me where he fits?
Yeah, I think he's a guy that could be a first-round pick. And you know, he could even fall out of the first round. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Him and Bo Nix are kind of two wild cards, I think, right now in the NFL draft. And there's some teams in the top 15 that can use the quarterback, like the Las Vegas Raiders, Denver Broncos, obviously the Minnesota Vikings, who I think will be trading up, though, for J.J. McCarthy. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I've put out a mock draft this past week. I had all six in the top 15. Now, will that actually happen? No, I don't think so. But I think there's a chance that all those teams could be interested in those quarterbacks. And I like Penix a lot, man. Yeah, the injuries are a little scary, but he has been healthy for 2 years now. So it's not like he's coming off of injuries. But yeah, like you mentioned, he had four season-ending injuries. Two of them were torn ACLs. But he has been healthy for 2 years, and also he's got a really, really great arm. I think a much stronger arm than he's given credit for, honestly. So I really like Michael Penix Jr. I think there's a chance he could become a starting quarterback in the NFL, and that's why I kind of group him in that same tier as J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix, where you know I could see them becoming starting quarterbacks. I'm not gonna say they will be starting quarterbacks in the NFL or starting caliber for their whole careers. Whereas I think that for Caleb Williams, Drake May, and even Jaden Daniels, those next three, I could see them working out in the NFL, but I'm not willing to say, oh, they're definitely going to be franchise quarterbacks in the league.
Max Chadwick of PFF here on Grant and Danny, one of their college football experts. So the other of the major positions of need for Washington is offensive tackle, and they pick at 36 and 40 after they go QB at two. They could package those picks to go up to get one maybe mid-first round, or they could stay at 36 and try to find their starting left tackle there. So a few parter here, but A, do you think if they stay at 36, can they get a left tackle to protect the blind side of May or Daniels at that spot? And then give me a state of the union on what the tackle situation looks like if they stay put versus if they move up to get one.
Yeah, it is one of the best tackle classes I can remember, honestly. I mean, you could see eight guys go in the first round. I wouldn't bat an eye, honestly, which is an insane number of offensive linemen going in the first round. Even, I mean, more than eight if you count interior offensive linemen, too. But if you stick at, you know, 36, I think there are certain players that I like in that range. I think a guy like Jordan Morgan from Arizona, he could fall down. I think he's been a really, really good tackle for Arizona in each of the last two seasons. I think he's a really good pass blocker and run blocker. There's other guys, too, that I think have high ceilings, like Kingsley Suamataia from BYU. The problem is, though, offensive tackle is one of those positions where, man, if you're a really good prospect, you're going to go in the first round. It's going to be tough for you to fall. So I wouldn't hate Washington trading back up into the first to get one of their guys if they really like someone. Like even keeping Olufashanu in you know, getting him back home. You know, he's from the D.C. area too. But if he starts falling on draft night, maybe Washington makes a move up. I don't quite see that happening for them to move up. But there are some other tackles, though, in the second round that I still think could be good players for Washington. I think the one, like I said, the one guy I'll probably circle for them right now is Jordan Morgan from Arizona. I think that's the guy that if you want to take a tackle at 36, he's probably going to be there. He's a guy that I really, really like in this class as well.
And he would be a day one starter at left tackle?
Obviously, that'd be a lot to ask from a second round pick. I don't hate it. I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world if you trot him out as your day one left tackle. But like, if you're looking for a day one left tackle, I mean, it's tough for me to say you're going to find that outside of the first round. Honestly, even outside, there's only a few guys I'd be willing to say, okay, you're my starting left tackle, you know, week one in the NFL. Like Joe Alt is one of them. Olufoshano probably is another. After that, it starts getting a little hairy after that. So Jordan Morgan, he could become that, but I'm just maybe not immediately day one. But I think down the line, he absolutely could become a franchise left tackle.
Similar question here, but for receiver, we know the headliners, obviously you mentioned Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers. They'll all go in some order in the first half of the first round. Adunze probably as well. In that late first round, maybe trade back in, or early second round, some of the candidates you like there, specifically for Washington.
Yeah, so I think, again, like, I hate to sound like a broken record, but I mean, if you need a receiver or you need an offensive tackle, this is the year to get one, man. I mean, this is, again, one of the best receiver classes I can remember as well. And again, you could see eight guys go in the first round. I wouldn't bat an eye. And that's not to say, I think even more so than offensive tackle, I feel way better about grabbing a starting caliber receiver day two than I do about getting an offensive tackle. Where I think the offensive tackles might fly off the board in the first round. Receivers, they will fly off the board, but there's still going to be some really good players in the second round as well. Guys like, say, Ladd McConkey, somehow if he falls out of the first round, that would be a home run pick for whoever gets him in the second round, in my opinion. Troy Franklin, the Oregon receiver, I think there's a chance he falls out of the first round. I think he's likely to fall out of the first round. I think he could fit really well, and that Washington offense brings, you know, kind of a size and speed element to them. Roman Wilson from Michigan, and then Ricky Pearsall from Florida, another two guys I like as kind of like slot receivers for an offense. So, yeah, Washington, more so than offensive tackle, if Washington wants to get a receiver, it might be worth it for them to grab that at 36 or even later in the draft. Like, they might be able to get a tackle at 36 and a receiver later, because I think the depth of this receiver class is really special, honestly.
Getting the latest on the top of the draft board from Max Chadwick of PFF on Grant and Danny. So, Commanders at two, you're leaning toward them going Jaden Daniels. You would take Drake May. And you think it's still fairly close between those two guys to put a bow on the combo?
Yes, I think it's fairly close as to who I think they're going to take. I think, you know, Jaden and Drake May, like I said, it's a coin flip, and it seems like the betting odds are shifting every day as to who actually is the favorite for that number two overall pick. So as to who they will take, yeah, I think it's a coin flip. I don't know. But as to who I would take, I don't think it's even a question. I think Drake May is pretty clearly number two for me. So I personally would take Drake May and have no hesitations about it. But I do think right now it's a coin flip as to what Washington will do on draft day.
What do you make of people saying that Drake May needs to sit for a season?
If Chicago had a starting caliber quarterback, I wouldn't hate Caleb Williams sitting for a little bit. Now, I just don't hate, you know, sitting a rookie quarterback. And it's obviously worked into great effects before with guys like Patrick Mahomes and Jordan Love. Really emerging after that. But I don't really understand that at all. I think Drake May is probably the second most pro-ready quarterback maybe in this draft behind Caleb Williams. I mean, I don't really understand. Again, like I said, I think he is being the hate that you're seeing for Drake May is gotten way out of hand. Like, there are some issues for him to clean up, as there is for literally every single prospect that's ever existed in the NFL draft. But I think they're getting far overblown right now. He's being talked about like a boomer bust quarterback, and every quarterback's a boomer bust prospect, but I don't really think it's as crazy like it is for like an Anthony Richardson coming out last year. Like, I just don't see that at all. Like, Drake May's been playing at an elite level on a bad team, by the way, for 2 years, kind of carrying that North Carolina offense. I don't really understand a lot of the hate that he's getting from a lot of people right now.
Max, this is great, man. Really appreciate the time and info. Thank you.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Great intel on the draft 16 days out. Here on Grant and Danny. A big injury for the Nationals. News just broke. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Yeah. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Just got a post on X. Can't call it a tweet anymore, so I'm not really sure what it is. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. Would it be an X post? An X at reply?
I don't know.
An exact reply?
It's a reply. Yeah.
I got an X at. How about that? John Trimble said, catching up on the Odyssey app, you guys sleep on dog strollers, super popular, with a picture of a dog stroller, no less.
Mm-hmm.
Although what's interesting is there's two what appear to be like stuffed animal dogs in his dog stroller, not like real dogs, unless I'm missing something or seeing something.
Or they're
wrong
really good at sitting still or playing dead.
I don't know. But yesterday I was saying that John Calipari was walking his dog around. And he was walking a little dog stroller so that he could pick the pup up and throw it in the stroller when he needed to. I'm just not a dog stroller guy. It's not really for me.
I don't think anybody should be. Just because something's popular doesn't make it right. You know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of popular things that are stupid. I think that's on my list.
But
respectfully. Respectfully to Mr. John.
I like that he's listening on the Odyssey app to yesterday's program. He's getting caught up on his Grant and Danny listening, which we dig.
We'll allow it.
News from the Nationals, who are in San Francisco right now, getting ready for game two of a three-game set with the San Francisco Giants. Josiah Gray to the injured list, the latest of a just slew of pitchers in Major League Baseball, having elbow and forearm issues. This is not good. Right elbow, forearm, flexor strain for Josiah Gray. So you don't want to hear pitcher, elbow, shoulder, flexor. That's like the muscles that go from the hand down to the elbow. That is not what you're looking at. As minor or something that you just look past. But fingers crossed, this is a few weeks, and he's right back on the mound pitching again, and maybe they just get him a breather because it has been ugly for him early this season. But it actually does, I would say, maybe answer some questions about Josiah Gray, who just had two of his worst starts as a Washington National back-to-back to kick off this season, where he's given up 7 hits and 6 earned runs and 8 hits and 7 earned runs in his 2 outings.
Yeah, you hear elbow, forearm, tightness, flexor strain, and you just go, oh no, right? And again, we're not jumping to conclusions. Those are the precursors before, really, really serious stuff.
Yeah, the typical path would be first time you hear of anything, a guy's not having Tommy John. They'll have a flexor strain and they got all kinds of issues in their forearm or whatever, and the elbow's barking, and then you shut them down. And then they come back and pitch again. Now, this is not a guarantee. A lot of times, like Mackenzie Gore, remember, got shut down end of a couple seasons ago. Knock on wood, hasn't had problems since. It doesn't mean that definitively something is afoot and you have to eventually have a serious surgery. But a lot of times, this is how that can begin. So you just have to kind of cross your fingers for one of the most important young players on the team, the 26-year-old who was an all-star last year, who got the opening day assignment for them this year.
Yeah, so ascending into this leadership role as a guy that's done everything right since he's been here is an incredible dude. Like, it could not be more fun to get to know and talk to and interview and get to be around. You know, he's been great with the Nats Youth Academy and everything like that. You want him to have a good season, A, for the team, B, for him, and this has not gone well to start, and now you compound it with this. So I am really, really hopeful that, as you said, it's a couple of weeks, few weeks, let's rest, rehab, and I hope it's nothing. But it makes you, any baseball fan knows, you hear those combination of phrases and words, it's kind of hold your breath until you get good news.
Doesn't that give you a little indication, though, maybe, of what was going on?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that telling?
Yes.
Because it did not
right.
look good.
No.
I mean, you and I were both watching both of those games. He wasn't fooling anybody.
Mm-mm.
It just, the stuff wasn't quite as sharp as it was last year. He was getting rocked. So, assuming he goes to the injured list, he comes back in a couple weeks, he's pitching and he's healthy, this could actually be a little bit of a blessing in disguise to get this ironed out and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, that's your ideal case right there, right?
But at the same time, I'm also very nervous about that. And let's call it what it is. I mean, this is not a good Nats team again this year. They're not supposed to win. So other than the kids coming up, James Wood, Dylan Cruz, Brady House, Jackson Rutledge, Cade Cavalli coming back from injury, you know, any of the other young players that are either going to debut or just continue to stack some major league experience, the most important thing about this group are the foundational young big leaguers, Gray, Gore, Abrams, who's been hurt and missed three straight games. Hopefully he's back tonight after jamming his finger on the base pass. Like, that's frankly what we got. That's all we got this year is the 40% of the time where Josiah Gray or Mackenzie Gore are pitching, when C.J. Abrams or K-Bert Ruiz is in the batter's box, those are the priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to be hurt and potentially miss extensive time, which hopefully isn't the case, but it's going to be a couple weeks at least, I mean, it's more of a bummer than it even traditionally would be with a team like the Nationals.
Yeah, we've had a number of these, as you touched on. Cavalli getting shut down shortly after we kind of got the smallest taste of what it might look like. Mackenzie Gore was shut down, of course, as you alluded to, with some elbow issues. So we've been kind of robbed of our little Christmas presents along the way for a team that's going to lose a lot of games. And they're going to lose by design. Because, as you said, the point isn't, with all due respect, what Ildemar Vargas does. You know what I mean? Like, that's great. That's adorable. Thank you so much for being here. The point is what Brady House is going to do. The point is the next wave of guys that are on the way up to be the, hopefully, the core for the next 8 to 10 years, like we just finished going through. So, yeah, it really is an extra layer of bummer when one of those guys, one of the key guys for the future and over the next handful of years, isn't able to go.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. I saw Matt Rhule talking to the media yesterday about having Bill Belichick come coach his coaching staff. He basically had Belichick come in and meet not only with himself, but a bunch of his assistants. Rhule, you guys will remember, got to the NFL with the Carolina Panthers, got fired, and is now back in college where he's been a phenomenal head coach. He's at Nebraska right now, but prior to getting to Carolina, he was really good at Temple back in like 2014, 2015, 16. Then he went to Baylor, had a good run through 2019, and got the Panthers job. Listen to what Matt Rhule said about Bill Belichick helping their coaching staff the last few days.
He is so smart. I've seen so much that he can make the complex so simple that it humbles you and embarrasses you. I was embarrassed yesterday listening to him, how smart he is.
Pause this real quick. I don't know why that's funny to me.
I love that.
But he's like, I was embarrassed. Because think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Humbling's a great word. If you brought in a radio legend and just sat and talked to them, right, and you're like, tell me about your craft. Tell me about what you do. You go, oh, man, I really need to tighten some things up.
Yeah, I am amateur over here. Right? What am I doing?
And so Matt Rhule feels himself a little bit. I think he's one of the better coaches in the country, to be honest with you. People might yell and argue about that because it didn't go well at Carolina. But he's a hell of a college football coach. And he brings in Belichick, and he's sitting there listening to Belichick, and he's going, oh, my God, I'm not good at this at all.
Yeah, I'm a buffoon.
I don't know anything.
What a fraud I am.
All right, keep playing the clip.
I was embarrassed yesterday listening to him, how smart he is, how simple it was. He went, he went 4.5 hours with the coaches. Forget the clinic. Like, he came in and met with our coaching staff. And 3.5 hours in, I was like, Coach, would you like a water, a cup of coffee, like use the restroom? Because I desperately had to use the restroom, you know? And he's like,
pause that real quick.
Matt.
It almost sounds like an interrogation room or something where you're like, all right, let's pause for a few minutes. Let's go get some drinks. We'll come back.
Do you need to take a break, guy doing me a favor?
Yeah, exactly. And you'll hear Belichick was like, no, dude. Like,
no,
let's
I'm
keep
fine.
Going.
We're on to the next video.
And he's like, I'm fine, Matt. I was like, yes, sir. And just sitting there and just talking, right? And just his recall from things 15 years ago. And, you know, the only reason why we don't get through more information is because he's having to slow down to make sure you understand what he's saying. I mean, so you have this man who's a savant, right? Who's been a defensive coordinator. He's been a special teams coordinator. He's coached, you know, he could be an offensive coordinator. He's been a head coach twice. He's been a GM person. I mean, he's talking about football in a way that just like, I mean, illuminates things and makes things so simple that you're like, oh my goodness.
So a couple of takeaways from this. The reason I wanted to play the audio and I brought this up was I saw Albert Breer, who we have on the show a lot, covered Bill Belichick years ago. So he's got a horse in the race, so to speak. But he posted this video of Rule talking about having Belichick in to coach his coaches. And he said it's a really poor reflection on NFL owners that there were 7 openings this year. Belichick wanted work and couldn't find a job. I don't know that I completely agree with that. Like, I don't think the fact that he's immensely helpful and a savant and amazing and blows coaches away with his knowledge means that in this era he definitely needs a coaching job. Because there's a lot of gray area with hiring him. Does he also want to be a GM? Is he going to play nice with the GM? If the Falcons, who interviewed him, brought him in, would he be as good a fit with Terry Fontenot and Kyle Smith running the front office as Raheem Morris, who doesn't take as much oxygen up from the room? Is he going to just allow other people to have their say in their way? Is he not going to scratch and claw and fight for every decision because he's used to years and years and years of getting his way? Like, I don't think it's as simple as there were 7 openings. Bill Belichick wanted one of them. So shame on everyone that he doesn't have a job. I think that's undercomplicating a complicated thing. Having said that, I do think every single team that doesn't ask him to come out to their building is ridiculously stupid. I think if the Commanders haven't touched base with him, supposedly they talked to him for a very short time during their search, but I think it was a mistake if Adam Peters didn't at least reach out to him, a guy that he used to work
that
with
he knows, yeah.
in New England. If he's not at training camp for a day, if he's not coming in to coach Dan Quinn and coach the coaches, I think that's a huge mistake. If he's willing to say yes to Matt Rhule in Nebraska, now maybe he wouldn't at the NFL level for teams that snubbed him, but that is an ask you should absolutely make. Every single person in the league who coaches would benefit from being around probably the greatest to ever do it. I was just seeing this clip yesterday, and I thought, if Dan Quinn hasn't already reached out to him, you better do it tomorrow.
Well, but so I understand, and I think you made a very good case against what Albert Breer is saying. I think, you know, succinctly put, it probably leaves out some of the nuance. I do find it unbelievable that, as you said, maybe the greatest coach of all time who didn't retire, who would like to coach, could barely get an interview, right? And a guy in Mike Vrabel, who's been pretty damn successful over a handful of years, is thought of as unhirable.
That's a whole different story. The Vrabel one's more surprising because he's not 71, and maybe he's got some ego, but he's not, and I don't mean this in a negative way, it'll sound like it, but this is just when you're the greatest to ever do something, the egomaniac probably, that Belichick is going to be. Now, he got beat up and bludgeoned every which way in the Apple TV documentary that I beg you to watch. That you keep telling me to kick rocks. You'd rather do anything else. Yep. I think that was the word you used.
I said, and I think I have this quote right. I don't want to misquote myself. There's nothing I want to do less than listen to you.
Yeah. I think you said, I hate you, Grant.
I said, you're stupid, Grant.
Okay.
Here's a pebble, follow it around for the next 6 months and write a report.
Push it around the
parking lot. I think that's what I said, yeah.
With your toes.
End quote.
71-year-old Bill Belichick got crushed in that documentary, which was basically a Kraft-produced, like, Tom Brady fest, right? So I know his Q rating's down a little bit right now, but it's Bill Belichick, man.
It's Bill Belichick. No one has any interest? Like, none. Because I guess the whole point, and we talked about this during the whole hiring cycle, was if you bring him in and then hire, like, the younger Callahan, you know, it's like, are people going to be like, are you serious?
Callahan.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, but my point is, and this is where I push back on the Breer premise, like, Brian Callahan might make more sense as an NFL head coach right now. He's in his 30s. He's relatable. He doesn't come with the crazy ego. He can play nice with GMs. He can, like, design an offense and help you score points, and he's good for a quarterback and isn't going to butt heads with QBs. Like, he might be better.
He might. But I guess my point is, maybe you feel like if I'm interviewing Brian Callahan, I also interview the greatest coach of all time, and I don't hire the greatest coach of all time and go with Brian Callahan, it might not look that great, or people might have some questions for me I don't feel like answering. So maybe that's why he could barely get an interview. Bill Belichick.
I think it's that you're not hiring him just as a coach.
Yeah.
that when you bring in Bill Belichick,
you hire the whole gravitational system.
He runs everything. Mm-hmm. He is the sun, and we're all kind of revolving around him. And by the way, it was really, really bad the last few years.
Sure was.
Not coaching. He was pretty good, and I thought got more out of no talent than anyone else might have been able to. But he was the reason they had no talent.
Yep.
And he would like to bring himself to your building to help you not have any talent.
He's terrible at picking players. I mean, terrible at it.
Lately, he was.
Ron Rivera thinks he's bad at it, too. You know what I mean? Like, it's to that level.
Double play is next. We'll blitz at four. That's when we've got tickets to Old Glory DC Rugby to give away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Our double play, moments away, comes your way each and every day in this segment on Grant and Danny, and it is driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. Trifecta in DC sports tonight. The Wiz, the Caps, the Nats, all in action.
Speaking of, well, let me rephrase that. We weren't really speaking of, but a little while ago, we did our best smells. Remember that? So we weren't speaking of that.
Speaking of a thing that we mentioned on the show about 3 weeks
ago.
Yeah,
so I feel like in my mind, like it was yesterday. It's not. It's a while back. We did best smells. And one of the nominees was the new car smell, right? I was thinking about that yesterday. Went to see my guys at Ted Britt Ford. They're awesome. They've taken such good care of me over the years. Super, super cool. We had our lease ended on our old Mach-E. So we branched out, GP, something brand new, a new Mach-E, because we love it. It's incredible. The electric situation is awesome. And as I hopped in after they did all the cleaning and all the fancy stuff that happens to it, the new car smell hit. And I was like, you know what? There's something extra special about this, right? Because, A, the smell itself is fantastic. The new car smell, the new shoe smell, the new leather glove, whatever you want to call it, right? But that new car smell is fantastic. But there's also something else because it's your car. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's not like I wouldn't love something that's new car cologne. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be like, oh, Grant, that smells great. You smell like a new car. There's something because it's like my car now. Because I have acquired this new toy, this new thing, this new machine with all the new bells and whistles. I think that sensation plus the new car smell makes it more special. Like, it doesn't smell better than a cookie. It doesn't smell better than banana bread. But it smells awesome, and it's my new car.
What I mean, that'd be fair to say.
Thank you, Coach.
New shoes.
Yeah.
Do you have the same feeling? They're your shoes? Well, like, yeah. New shoes?
Especially if I get something that I really like. Now, usually my shoe situation is whatever's on super sale, cheap as whatever hell, I'll beat them up and go to the next shoe. But if I'm getting, like, nice shoes, like when I bought those fancy loafers to be the MC, it's not the MC, the officiant at my cousin-in-law's wedding, that new shoe smell, I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, these are cool because these are pricey and fancy and nice. But it's like, whatever these things are, these like $41 Adidas shoes that I got, I don't really care about the smell. You know, it seems like you're skeptical of that.
I was super confused. I was still laughing at the beginning where you said
speaking of, we weren't speaking of it at all.
So that was just a funny transition.
I was speaking of it in my mind, right. But you guys didn't know that.
But then also I was confused because you were saying because it's a car. But I guess your point is if you have a gift given to you, and in this case, if you go get something, there's an excitement that you have something new
yeah.
that makes the feeling even more powerful. So is it really the smell or is it just the overall happiness?
Yeah, so like obviously we all recognize the goodness of the new car smell. Like if you're test driving a car, you smell the new car smell. All in favor of it, no one's opposed to it. We're there. There's something extra special though, as I'm driving home from Ted Britt Ford in my new car where I'm going, this is my new car. And I got a new car smell to go with my new car. It's like my new fancy toy. That's why I like it.
Time for my double play. I saw this story in the Sun. This guy got a $105 speeding ticket because his car was on the back of a tow truck that was speeding. And I think the camera ticket took a picture. And the camera took the picture of his license plate. So this poor bastard has his car towed already. So you're going to chip $150, $200, whatever it is, to get your car back. And on top of that now, you got a camera ticket for $105 for speeding while your car is on the back of a tow truck. And you could say, well, he'll get out of that. Have fun with that.
Yeah, good luck.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
Get out of one of these camera tickets. You know how much of a pain in the butt the emails and the calls and the websites and the clicking and the quizzes you have to answer and what's your mom's maiden name and who was the first date of your brother's keeper? There's too much.
Mm-hmm.
What a terrible situation.
Yeah, and why does he have to deal with it, by
your
the way?
Your car gets towed, and then you get a speeding ticket that's on the back of the tow truck. Well, that's brutal.
Well, I've learned that no matter where you are on something that should be universally despised, there are still people who are like,
I love speeding cameras. It's your own fault for speeding.
Like, the speed camera fans are everywhere. So they're like,
oh, well, you got to break a few eggs to make an omelet that sucks.
Like, if I'm like, I hate mosquito bites, like, they're good for the environment or something. Like, I hate everyone.
But what's their argument for this? Because you're right. When I complain in the past that I got a speeding ticket from a camera that shouldn't exist.
Well, don't speed,
maybe
man.
You shouldn't have been going 9 over.
Yeah, right? Don't speed. I love to walk everywhere.
And so is this argument that you shouldn't have gotten the car towed?
It's a
risk now that you could get a speeding ticket added on if the tow truck driver is driving fast and it's your own fault. What do those people think about this?
I'm trying to think of it. I'm sure there's some, you know, it's the cost of doing business because I want my speed cameras. The people, and they're out there. You know them. They're in your neighborhood right now. They live near you. They're just walking around loving the idea of more speed cameras. They're all in favor of it. They think it's good. Now, on a binary, if you're like, are speed cameras good or bad? They're like, good. It's amazing. I love that. That's bad luck for that guy. But in general, think of all the good the speed cameras are doing. You know, braking a lot and paying for themselves. Speed camera.
I hate a speed camera. And they're everywhere now.
Yep.
I even got one in Virginia first time.
We talked about it.
They're in the game now.
They want a part of it. But at least there's toll roads and personal property tax with cars. Virginia,
you were doing so great on this front. You were the ringleader on no cameras, taking pictures of people. Police officer wants to pull me over and give me a ticket. He wins.
You win, sir.
You had a human being who took my speed, who decided it was worth his time to pull me over for going 9 or 10 over. God bless him. You guys got me this time. Not a camera. We're not doing that in Virginia. Let's be better than that in the Commonwealth of Virginia. How's about it? Old Glory, D.C. rugby tickets can be won next. Kicking off the Beltway Blitz, covering the Nats. Big injury to break down in their rotation. The Capitals, who play the biggest game of their season tonight, a must win. And the Commanders, 16 days away from the NFL draft. That's next on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.